an interview with my Uncle Tony. He was my grandfather's like best friend in the army, and he owns a restaurant. He used to own a restaurant in Niles and a couple of restaurants in Chicago.
Oh, that
And
is
here he
fantastic.
is. Here, hi Tony, how are you?
Hi, Jack. I'm well. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I think we're gonna get started in the we're gonna get into the questions now. You ready?
I'm ready, yes.
Okay. Can you tell me about where you grew up? What was it like?
Well, Jack, 1933, I was born in a Sicilian neighborhood on the near north side of Chicago, around Halsted and Division. I lived there until I was, let's see, when I left to go to high school, until I was about 16 years old.
Yeah,
And
did
go
you
ahead.
speak Sicilian?
I grew up speaking Sicilian in the family, and outdoors I spoke English.
Okay.
Yep.
What was your what was the area you grew up like? What did you do? What
It,
were culture what was the culture there?
oh, the culture was it had been a German neighborhood, then Irish. So I'm going back to the late, maybe 1870s, 1890s. Then the Sicilians moved in. And let's see, there were still many Irish. So the neighborhood was predominantly Irish, German, Italian. And it was a great mix. We had very close-knit. We did get along. There were none of this stuff about race or, well, except the African Americans weren't welcomed. But there was a section of our neighborhood where the African Americans lived. And at that time, we referred to them as colored. And they had names for us ethnically.
Were there any celebrations that you remember that like the entire neighborhood would participate in, or like
Oh,
any like block parties or anything?
no, God, we had the church, our parish, St. Philip Benizi, was the main parish in our neighborhood. And then there was a satellite church where I went to, was St. Marcello. It was a little church next to the Stanton Park. That was the park where we all gathered and played. And what we would have would be the feasts. And there'd be a feast for Saint Joseph, there'd be a feast for Saint our Holy Mother. They were wonderful large events. And they would have at those what would be called the Flight of the Angels, which I was one of them, and then later my brother was. They would string cables across from a third story building to the convent next to the church, which was a third story, and they would slide us across on rollers that were attached to vests that we had. It was just a wonderful, wonderful event. And the streets would be all closed off with food vendors, lights all over. And there'd be arcs of lights over the streets. And this would be 2 blocks long, 3 blocks long. And they would carry the statue of our Holy Mother through the streets. And well, you've probably seen that in movies where then they would contribute money and they'd pin it on the statue.
Yeah, I've seen that. They pin it across the statue, yeah. Moving to that. Who are your favorite relatives, and can you describe what they look like, and do you remember any stories that they used to tell you?
Oh my. My uncle Sebastiano and his first wife, who passed away, it's Caterina. They were certainly my favorite aunt and uncle. That's when I was a little boy. But then my my aunt on my father's side, she also was Tia Catarina. They lived two doors down from us next to the park. And they also, her whole family, Angie and Annie, my cousins, they were my favorites. But one of the most was Frank Acheri. But he lived further away from us. And he was about 2-3 years older than I, but he was one of my favorites. In fact, he worked at Wrigley Field as a young kid. And he'd get me into the games. He'd sneak me in. And, Santo was one of my Angie's husband, one of my cousins, and he used to be a peddler. He'd have a truck and he'd load all the vegetables and fruit, and he'd let me work with him. And I would go up and down the neighborhoods, the WASP neighborhoods, where non-Italians go up and down the alleys and sell fruits and vegetables. And then I would take the orders up and down the stairs for the ladies, and I'd make tips. So those, I could go on and on and on. I mean, there are so many wonderful relatives that I had.
Big family.
Then I had the Vazanos, who were bookies, and they were on my mother's side. Yeah, they were on my mother's side. She grew up with them when she immigrated when she was 16 years old. She lived with them until she and her father were able to find lodging. I think she lived with them for about a year, and they became very close. Anyway, I could go on and on, Jack, you know.
Yeah. Are there any stories you heard as a child that you thought, oh my God, this is so funny or this is amazing? Like, what, if there are any?
Stories?
Like, what's your favorite stories from your relatives?
Yeah, my dad would tell the story about my grandfather. His father had come to the United States. This was part of the big immigration of the Sicilians in the late 1890s and early 1900s. My grandfather had immigrated with his brother Luca to the United States, and they worked in the stockyards of Chicago. And an incident occurred where they had to take off and they jumped the railroad train. And went all the way out to Sunrise, Wyoming, and worked in the mines out there. But my grandmother did not want to come to the United States, so my grandfather decided to go back to Italy. But Luca stayed out in Sunrise, Wyoming until 1924. He had sort of turned into a hermit, but he worked out there and saved a lot of money and came back to Chicago. And my mother tells a story that he came to live with them, my father and she. And at the time, there was only my sister Jenny, the eldest, was born. And my mom tells a story about how he was sort of, in a nice way, not refined, sort of crude. And the one story she tells is that she brought a watermelon home one time for dinner. And Luca got it into his head to taste it. And practically before dinner, before anybody was around, ate more than half of it. And she went to serve dinner, there was maybe a third left of the watermelon. Those are the kind of stories they were just wonderful. Yeah.
Sounds like a character. Sounds like a character, Luca.
Luca was a real character. He was a hothead. I don't want to tell you that. There was another story, the reason why they went to Sunrise, Wyoming, but that's another story, Jack.
Yeah. From your favorite relatives, what made them your favorite?
Well, my Sebastiano, his wife couldn't have a baby. And when I was a baby, he asked my mom and dad, look, you've got two daughters and you're probably going to have more kids. Why don't you let me have Nino? That was my name. He said, let us have Nino and we'll bring him up. Well, my mother hit the roof. She said, are you crazy? So evidently I was the apple of his eye. And anytime I wanted anything, any favor, I could go to Sebastiano and he'd slip me a dot. Now, this is, you got to remember, this was depression time now in the 30s. He slipped me a dollar and say, don't tell your mom and dad, go and spend whatever you want. And then
which
was
like $40 now.
Oh, Jack, I was the hit of the neighborhood when I had it. And then there was my aunt Katarina, my father's sister. And here's a story. She lived next door. And again, I could go up there and ask her to have something to eat or just hang around and wait for Santo, because you remember the story of Santo with the truck, with the vegetable truck.
Yeah.
They lived on the first, on the second floor. Anyway, I got it into my head with the group that I fell in with in grammar school that maybe it'd be great to bug out. So I, the little trick I came up with is I'd save saliva and I'd lean over and throw up the saliva. And I'd tell the teacher, gee, I don't feel good, Mrs. Begley. And so she'd send me home. She'd say, okay, well, go home. And so where would I go? And I'd zip over to my aunt, get something to eat, and then join the guys. And we'd take off. And we'd go with whatever activity we were going to get into. So this went on for about a couple of weeks. But one day, my aunt told my mom, she says, the baby is sick. Are you aware of that, that he's not feeling well? He's throwing up and coming up. My mother said, what? He says, oh, really? So the following day, I'm sitting in class, and in the old schools, they had those real tall doors with the windows, long windows in it. And I look at the door, and there's my mother peering in. She knocks on the door, and Mrs. Begley, a real knockout, who I had fallen in love with. I think I was in, this might have been fifth or sixth grade. And she motions to Mrs. Begley to come to the door. And she goes in. She, in those neighborhoods, Jack, the teachers knew all the family because they had taught your cousins and your, everybody knew everybody. And she said, Mrs. Regia, what's wrong? She says, my mother said, I understand that my Nino was sick sometimes and he got to go. She says, oh, yes. She says, that's happened often in the last few weeks. She says, oh, yeah? She said, can I come in and see Tony, Nino? And she says, and Mrs. Begley knew me as Nino. She says, well, yes. So my mother walks in front of the class and motions to me and goes like this. She says, with her finger, she says, come here. So I get up and I walk up to her and she takes and whacks me across the face and points to the chair, to the desk. She says, you go sit down now. And then she turns to Mrs. Begley and she says, Nino no gonna sick no more. He no get sick no more. And to this day, even when I went to college, if I wanted to cut or do something else, I'd ask my mom. I'd say, Ma, I'm not going to go to his ass. That's okay. But there was, she got me. I was so embarrassed, but it worked. There was no abuse or anything. It worked. She knew exactly what to do.
Yeah,
I got a
I'm
million.
I'm gonna ease in.
Go ahead.
I'm gonna ease in with your mom.
Yes.
Where's your mom's family from?
My mom's
Where's
family.
Your dad's family from?
My what?
And where's your Where's your mom's family from? Where's your dad's family from?
My
where's your
mom,
grandparents?
Well, my mom and dad met here in the United States, but my mom was born in Palermo. But during the 1905 cholera attack, her father, just before they locked down the city, loaded up the family in the cart and snuck out of the city and went to a small village, Ventimiglia, just outside Palermo. And that's where then she grew up until she immigrated, until she was about 16 and immigrated to the United States. So, but she would always identify herself as Palermitana. She was from Palermo. My father was from a small town, Burgio, and it was Provincia Agrigento. And his cousins lived, and this has been a sort of a sore point in the family. His cousins lived in a town, a larger town, more sophisticated town, about 2 miles up, called Corleone. And he would always identify himself as Burgitano. And then he immigrated. He served in the First World War. He served about 3.5, 4 years in the First World War in the trenches, Jack, and came back to Burgio, Sicily, and what was then known as La Miseria. It was just too miserable, too awful, poor, hard to make a living. And he decided to immigrate to the United States, not soon after. And in fact, he went up through northern Italy, got to Marseille, jumped on a boat, and he always said he got through. He didn't come through Ellis Island. He came through Canada. But yet, when I looked up in the records, there was a Pasquale Regio that came through Ellis Island. So I don't know if I got the story straight or wrong. But my mom, she was, let's see, my aunt, she was the second of, there were three sisters and two brothers. Anyway, the elder sister was supposed to immigrate, come to the United States with her father, my grandfather. And she had gotten sweet on a young man, and they were going to get engaged, and she refused to come to the United States with my grandfather. So my mother said, I'll go. And she jumped forward and used the same passport because they sort of looked alike, and immigrated with my dad, with my grandfather, after the Second World War. Again, that may have been 1920 or 1921, just before the legislation that was discriminating against Southern Europeans. I forget what the name of it was, but she got in, and my father did too. My mom got her citizenship right away, but my dad didn't get it until the 30s. But they both immigrated, and then they met in the United States. Wonderful. So I identify very much so with the immigrants, especially the Latin American immigrants, because those that worked for me in the restaurant, they were so similar. Every penny they made, if they made $5, three of them or four of them went back to the old country for the family, and they would keep a dollar. That's how. So I had great empathy for my staff.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's my story with my mom and dad and how they got here.
Do you know a lot about your grandparents?
I do. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Are there any stories that you like to tell, or that are your favorite to tell?
I can keep you here days with those. my mom's father, his name was Giovanni, John. And he was the youngest. He was the only son of his parents. And his father had been very successful in Palermo in gathering walnut or nut shells. That was a big industry at the time. And he had a big big operation. And he was known as Il Pandisco. Now, again, you have to understand how Sicily was organized. And he evidently had some standing in the community. Mm-hmm. But Giovanni, his son, evidently grew up a little lax and sort of a good liver. And when he passed the business on to him, he screwed it up and sort of lost everything. And but yet he was a real character. Loved drinking wine, loved smoking cigars, but very lovable. All his kids adored him. But when he got out of Palermo and went to the small town of Ventimiglia, he was not, economically, he did not do well. On my father's side, as I told you, and I was named after him, Antonino Riggio, his big thing, as I told you, he and Luca, like I said, had gone to the United States. But in 1904, he re-immigrated to Burgio, but he went back with some money and was able to buy a couple of pieces of land. But again, Jack, in those days, when I say, you know, buy, it might have been an acre, 2 acres. That's all that they were able to afford. But when Luca then went back, he really did. He had a trunk that he had put all his money on at the bottom and covered it, and went back to Sicily and stayed with his brother and my grandmother. And the story goes that all the mothers in Burgio were coming to visit with their daughters to show them off to Luca, that possibly Luca would fall in love or be attracted to him.
Gosh.
But my grandmother was so jealous of it because she knew about the money. She discouraged it. Now that's the mentality then. But sadly, Luca must have known he was ill, because a year after he got there, he died from cancer, stomach mm-hmm. cancer.
At what age?
But,
may I ask?
You know, Jack, that's hard. I never got that distinct, but I would think maybe in his 40s or early 50s.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he was a real character, Jack. I got to tell you, when you talk about Sicilians, hot-headed Sicilians, he was it.
His story gets more interesting by the time.
Pardon?
His story gets even more interesting by the time.
Oh, he. Well, I'll tell you the story of why my grandfather and he had to take off. My grandfather, you know, and that's how why I identify so much with the immigrants today. They had been in Chicago. They landed in Chicago. And it's the old story. There was one Sicilian who was sort of like the major domo. He'd make the connections for jobs. He'd get you settled. And there were like maybe 8-9 guys living in one apartment. And Nino, my grandfather, one day was shaving. Luca was out. And he had a mirror. And these two brothers and a cousin that lived with him started teasing my grandfather. And they took the mirror from him. And he, you know, said, give it, you know, anyway, it got to be a tussle. And the one guy pushed my grandfather and hit his head, and he was unconscious. And who walks in just at that time but Luca? And he sees his brother on the ground, head bleeding. He pulls the gun, kills one guy, and starts wounded the other. And the third guy takes off, the two of them, the wounded one and the guy that wasn't wounded, they take off. They jump out the window. And, of course, then the major domo gets on it. He says, you got to get out of Chicago now, because either the relatives of these guys are going to come after you, or the cops are going to. So that's why they both jumped on the freight train and took off and went west.
That's like something that's out of like Godfather.
Well, don't glamorize it. Don't do that.
I'm not glamorizing it, but it's a very, very intense story.
Very. And that's why Luca stayed out in Wyoming so long. And then when things cooled off, you know, say 1904 to all that years. In fact, the family of those men that he got involved with lived in Burjo. So there was still a danger that there was going to be tick for tat if he went back to Burjo. But he did, and there was no repercussions. And but that story, there were so many other stories about how they, where the money came from. And, but it was Luca. Luca had the money, and when he got back to Sicily, and my grandfather bought more land with the money. So they became fairly, not tremendously prosperous, but they were able to feed the family and avoid la miseria. There are so many other stories. Anyway, that's what was the original question?
I think it really blew me off. But I think it's a perfect time to talk about, like, to ease into how you ended up in your line of work at Regio's.
That my dad and my grandfather, my father's father, passed away in 1943 during the war. So 1949, my dad decided, he said, I want to go back to see my mother and my brothers and my cousin. Anyway, he wanted to go back and visit. Now, Jack, in those days, you didn't go back like now. You jump on an airplane and you're there for a couple of weeks or a couple of days and you fly back. This was, you got on a boat. The boat took maybe a week or whatever it was. And you squeezed out as much as you could, because that could be the last time you saw everybody. So my dad decided to go. So my mother, and Jackie, got to realize, when they say, you know, Sicilian women, they could have been empresses if you gave them half a chance. They'd rule. But my mom and dad were like a team. She was a high roller. He was like the guy who would hold the reins on the cart and keep everything steady. But when he decided to go, she said to him, Pasquale, maybe because you're going, why don't we take whatever money we have in the bank and put it under my name too? And he says, Niriana, that's short for Adriana. He said, that's a good idea. So they went and they changed and put the account under both names. We all went to the train station, said goodbye. Jack, the following day, my mother turned around and started looking for a piece of property where she could put a business in, now that she had the money. And she did. She found a store on Western Avenue. You know where Western Avenue
is.
Yes,
it's
a main street. She found it at where her sister-in-law lived, about three blocks away. So she thought, if I find a building close to that, my father, he wouldn't get too excited and PO'd about her doing this. But she found a building right on, across the street, kitty corner from the big parish of the neighborhood, Queen of Angels.
I know
next
that
door
is.
To a bar. You know,
yeah.
Right across the street from Wells Park. Now, this is a woman who's going by instinct. She's not, she doesn't have a Harvard MBA or anything like that. She's doing what she understands to be sound. She looks at this building. It's got a, what nowadays you'd call like a 5-Eleven or 10-Eleven, one of those kind of little stores with two apartments above. So she goes and she figures that's the building I want. She had in mind that she wanted to open up some kind of business. She goes and gets, looks for money. Now, in those days, pretty tough to go to a bank as an immigrant Sicilian and get a loan. So contacts made with Mr. Zaffina, an attorney who handled things like that. And he said, I can put you in touch with the Northern Italians who had all the money. And they lived in the suburbs. And he said, we'll go. There's this elderly couple. They want to invest. Maybe they'll loan you the money. Sure enough, he takes her there. They meet. Now, my mother, when she wanted to speak English, she spoke very well. But if she was going to put it on to as a guard, she would speak very broken English. So they go, they meet, ba 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 ba, and yes, we'll lend you $3,000. And my mother, very low key, says, but Mrs. Zaffina, you think, you ask them, can we pay more money if we want to reduce the debt? What she was asking for was prepayment privilege without penalty. And the people, oh, yeah, of course, sure you can. Well, that was key, because there's a whole nother story there when my dad gets back. But anyway, we all end up, my mom and my two sisters and I, scrub and clean and change this little store into a little pizza place. Jack, it was slave labor, but we paid that off in 3 years. We had it, we paid it all off. And from that, we prospered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
May I blow my nose in this?
Yes, of course.
Thank you.
No, but
so go ahead. What else? I mean, I don't know. I might be getting rambling on here.
No, of course not. Did you like your job? What did you like about it?
Well, it corresponded. I was in second year high school when that took place. I loved it. I mean, everybody had a job. My sisters, we making pizza, then started doing beef sandwich, sausage sandwich, meatball sandwiches. Then my mom was, now we're going to make spaghetti and sell spaghetti. And the store had a big front window. And my mom said, you know what? Let's put the pizza making in the window and put the oven up there. Now, where the hell would she get that kind of an idea? That came years later, where you want the customers to see part of the kitchen and all that. Anyway, that's where we would be. We'd roll, make the pizzas in the oven. Then further back in the store would be the steam table, where we'd make the sausage and the sausage sandwich, all that, the meatballs, spaghetti. But my dad was still working as a day laborer in construction at the same time. But when the winter would come, here's a good story. When the winter would come, the construction job, especially in the streets, paving would close down. So he had nothing to do. So the one night, they really got busy, and my mom had 2-3 kids delivering pizza. She had organized that. And some of them had bicycles, some of them, one guy had a car. Mm-hmm. But they got overwhelmed. So my mom turns to my father and said, Pasquale, we got these orders sitting here. Why don't you take one or two and go deliver? And my father said, oh, okay. So he puts it in the car and he goes and he delivers them. And he comes back. And of course, he's got a couple of coins jingling in his pocket beside the pay for the pizzas and the sand, whatever. He says, ah, he said, Nidiana, the people, they give me some money for myself. So he says, you got any more of those deliveries? I'll take them. So he started delivering pizza, never went back to busting his back in construction.
Yeah.
And he stayed with the business. And anyway, it got better and better, Jack. We prospered.
Yeah.
We prospered.
Yeah. Eventually opening up to 3 locations, was it, at a time?
Well, then I went into the Army in 55, and the business was thriving at that time. And while I was in the Army, my mom and dad bought the location in Niles. Mm-hmm. And that's a whole nother story of how she got to that. They built the restaurant there and had just opened it when I was discharged from the Army in 57. Mm-hmm. And I joined, came back, so that my sisters and my Jenny's husband, Dick, were working Niles, and I stayed in Chicago and worked Western Avenue with my mom and dad. Then as we further developed the 2 restaurants, your grandfather and I started getting big ideas. And we, of course, he was instrumental in the financing up at Niles when I wanted to expand that. Mm-hmm. But also then we bought the site at Irving Park and Avondale. We picked up about 3 buildings, knocked them down, and we put up the German restaurant, the Red Star Inn. And that story is another one. We sent my brother back to Germany to learn German cooking. He took the recipes from, we had picked up the name from a German restaurant that was closing in Chicago, downtown, near downtown Chicago, because of urban renewal. And at that time, what was very popular, Jack, was nostalgia for old Chicago. So this restaurant had opened in 1895. So anyway, we picked it up. We made use of the name. We were very successful with it. And so that, then, like I say, we expanded Niles. And after I expanded Niles, we expanded the Chicago location and moved it from Sunnyside and Western down to Belle Plaine and Western, and built what we call then Cafe Reggio. And so we ended up with 3 restaurants, Jack. I mean, what a wonderful, you know, from nothing to what we have.
Beautiful story.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm guessing your mother was a big, like, influence and a big role model to you.
My mom.
And a strong influence.
Very much so, Jack. But I was so fortunate. I never felt insecure. I was so loved by my mom and dad. Mm-hmm. Yes, my mom, she was the business. She would push. But I also, admired and loved my dad so much because he, from as a little boy, I remember him going out, coming mm-hmm. home dead tired from construction. But they were like a team of horses. They both mm-hmm. could hold each other in place and get forward. But I had a wonderful, I was a spoiled prince. My two sisters loved me so much that because of my having the name of my grandfather, Antonino, of course, in the Sicilian culture, that was the one that was going to carry on the name. But 8 years later, after me, came my brother John. And he also was treated like a prince. And my poor two sisters, there wasn't resentment. They just filled that role of the female in the family. They just loved us. Anyway, Jack, I never felt threatened. I'm very secure in my life. In fact, I'm so secure. I've never been threatened by women.
Yeah.
Women were natural, strong women were always natural to me.
Yeah.
So, and you know your aunt, mm-hmm. Trish, who I married, it followed right through. Mm-hmm. She's right in the mold.
Well, I'm.
And of course, my daughter.
I'm going to have to stop the interview there because we're out of time. Thank you so much.
Okay.
I'm going to stop the recording. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye now.